Being at 60 feet.
Uh-huh. So it went down.
So it's 30. Years, 30 yeah. feet.
Right.
It was at 60 feet in the spring after the
winter. Oh, right. Yep. Yep.
And
so that went down 30 feet after a lot of drought.
Yeah.
And again, what they're talking about, these MTs, yeah. is double that. You know,
yeah, well, there you average, go. I mean, it's the drought that, years that you'll have yeah. to worry about when right. they're not being naturally recharged.
That's anyways, right.
I'd love to get yep. into how they're going to try recharging themselves.
Yeah, like, that's a good topic, too.
We can get on that, but we yep. are out of time.
Okay, well, this has been fun.
But, I'd love to bring you back on.
Yeah.
We can talk more about this recharging, I'm fascinated. I could talk for another hour right now.
Yeah, it's fun to talk groundwater. And in general, I think we're in a great sub-basin, and I think the county's doing a good job. We just got to stay vigilant.
Yeah. And, again, I want to remind folks that next Wednesday at 12 on the 12th, Wednesday, August 12th, at the City of Chico Council Chambers, and that's 411 Main Street. If you're not familiar with where that is, at 3:30, there is going to be a groundwater sustainability meeting, and they're going to talk about, what'd you say, it was a five-year?
This is the five-year, a periodic review of the mm-hmm. groundwater sustainability plan, and this is the GSA board. They're the ones with the power. They make the decisions. So they also want to hear from the public. So it's be a great meeting to attend and see how the board votes.
All right. Yeah. Like I said, we're out of time. I want to thank you, Todd, for coming in, and hopefully we can do this again.
Yeah. This has been fun.
And coming up next is Zephyr News.
Welcome back to Zephyr News, a weekly production of FM 90.1 KZFR Chico. Zephyr News is broadcast each Thursday evening from 7 to 7:30 p.m. This week's show features contributions from Chico Soul and the Sacramento Observer. Segments from KZFR community members include a segment on AI data centers by Maddie Vannucci, coverage of the Paradise Town Council meeting and other news releases by David Foose, and a piece on the downtown Oroville budget by Maddie Vannucci.
This is Maddie Vannucci with Zephyr News. A Butte County Water Commission meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, August 5th at 1:30 p.m. in the Butte County Board of Supervisors Chambers in Oroville. The meeting agenda includes presentations and discussions on the FERC relicensing, the Our Water, Their Power website, the Butte County Well Ordinance, the Butte County Drought Resilience Plan, and perhaps most controversially, AI data center permitting and zoning considerations in Butte County. The Golden Goblet Fair, the Chico Renaissance Festival's Instagram page, has spoken out against the possibility of AI data centers coming to the area. Don't let this happen to our community. We don't want more PG&E increases. We want affordable living, clean water, and a thriving, healthy place to live, one post said. In response to growing public concern, Butte County released a clarification statement on August 3rd. Butte County has not received an application or development proposal for an AI data center. With increasing national attention on AI data centers and their potential infrastructure needs, the Butte County Water Commission requested a general information discussion to better understand the county's process for what would happen if a proposal were submitted in the future. Because the Water Commission's interest is centered on water resources, the discussion will also provide an overview of how AI data centers impact water usage. It is important to note that Butte County's current zoning ordinances do not permit data centers in unincorporated areas of the county. Following the county's statement, the Golden Goblet Fair, along with Power California, Groundwater for Butte, and NorCal Resist, shared another post stating that, based on other counties' experiences, we have reason to show concern even without a proposal in place and show up and insist why development should never exist. The post also includes a link to a change.org petition calling for an emergency moratorium on AI data centers in Butte County cities and towns. As of publication, the petition had 173 verified signatures. The discussion comes as similar concerns have surfaced in Siskiyou County in recent months. Rumors have circulated online that a mystery corporation purchased a water processing plant near Mount Shasta with plans to convert it into an AI data center. Some reports have disputed those claims, and no publicly confirmed development proposal has been announced. The facility in question is located in unincorporated Siskiyou County and is not under the jurisdiction of the city of Mount Shasta. More updates will be provided as additional information becomes available. Recording with Zephyr News, this has been Maddie Vannucci.
Hey, this is Micah from Game and Play for Zephyr News. This article was published July 29th, 2026, written by Antonio Ray Harvey from California Black Media. Assembly member McKinner's bill banning drones above outdoor entertainment events awaits Senate decision. Assembly member Tina McKinner is advancing legislation that would prohibit unauthorized drones from operating within 400 feet of large outdoor ticketed entertainment systems. Assembly Bill 2113, titled Aviation Unmanned Aircraft Systems Ticketed Entertainment Events, passed the Senate Public Safety Committee on June 30th by a 6-0 vote and was referred to the Senate Appropriations Committee. The Assembly approved the bill May 18th on a bipartisan 72-0 vote with support from 54 Democrats and 18 Republicans. Assembly Bill 2113 must clear the Senate Appropriations Committee before the legislators' August 31st deadline to remain active. Quote, large ticketed entertainment events, such as concerts, festivals, and sporting events, bring thousands of people into dense, confined spaces, including many venues in my California State Assembly District 61, end quote. McKinner said, quote, unauthorized drones and activities in these settings pose a real risk to public safety and can interfere with event operations and emergency response, end quote. McKinner said the legislation would establish a state-level restriction that local authorities could enforce while preserving the federal government's authority over U.S. airspace. McKinner also said, quote, while the federal government regulates airspace, local law enforcement is responsible for protecting public safety on the ground. Yet current law does not provide a clear state-level prohibition addressing this issue. Assembly Bill 2113 creates a straightforward prohibition on operating unauthorized drones within 400 feet of or directly above a large outdoor ticketed entertainment venue. Under the bill, the restriction would apply to outdoor professional music, sporting or performing art events held at venues with capacities of at least 1,000 people. Under the bill, the restriction would apply to outdoor professional music, sporting, or performing arts events held at venues with capacities of at least 1,000 people. The venues must have gated entrances or other barriers restricting public access, and admission must require a ticket or similar license issued by the venue operator. Each violation would be an infraction punishable by a $500 fine. McKinner, who chairs the Assembly Select Committee on the 2028 Olympic and Paralympic Games and the Los Angeles County Legislative Delegation, said the restrictions are particularly important as California prepares to host major international gatherings, including the 2028 Olympic and Paralympic Games. McKinner also cited major live entertainment festivals, including the Coachella Valley Music and Art Festival, Bottle Rock Napa Valley, LA Onda, the Stagecoach Festival, Beyond Wonderland SoCal, and the Aftershock Festival. Together, those events attract hundreds of thousands of attendees annually. Assembly Bill 2113 protects the intellectual property rights of artists and addresses a growing public safety gap at public events due to the growing use of drones across California, said McKinner, a member of the California Legislative Black Caucus. Live Nation Entertainment, which is supporting the bill, supports the proposed restrictions. The company promotes concerts, operates venues, provides ticketing services through Ticketmaster, and manages artists. Josh Stevens, Senior Manager of Government Affairs for Live Nation, described Assembly Bill 2113 as, quote, a necessary and significant improvement on public safety regulations. Quote, last year alone, we welcomed millions of fans to Live Nation events across thousands of concerts, end quote, Stevens said. Quote, modern technology, such as drones and other unmanned aerial vehicles, present a new challenge for public safety at large events, and this bill would be a meaningful step to solving that challenge. However, the Association for Uncrewed Vehicle Systems International has raised concerns about the bill's potential effects on legitimate commercial drone operations. Mason Fisk, the group directors of Drone Affairs, said Assembly Bill 2113 would address the disruptive use of drones, including operations that infringe on artists' intellectual property. However, the Trade Association has asked McKinner's office to add an exception for commercial flights providing services such as cargo transportation and infrastructure inspections. AUVSI describes itself as the world's largest trade association dedicated to advancing uncrewed systems and robotics. Its members include drone manufacturers and operators, public safety agencies, and higher education institutions. Sisk says AUVSI has, quote, been having very good discussions and operating in good faith, end quote, with McKinner's office as it seeks language distinguishing legitimate commercial flights from drones that loiter, hover, or disrupt events. Quote, our issue with the bill really has to do with the distinction between the loitering and hovering and the disruptive use of drones. So I would ask that the committee not support the bill until we have language figured out, end quote. Sisk told the Senate Committee on Public Safety, quote, I think we're close. We've been working together in the last few weeks. I'm optimistic that we'll get some language together that'll support both needs. The Federal Aviation Administration, FAA, has authority over the safety, use, and efficiency of U.S. airspace for traditional aircraft and drones. Federal restrictions already prohibit drone operations near at large stadiums during specified events. California law also makes it a misdemeanor to operate a drone near an active emergency scene when doing so impedes, disrupts, or prevents law enforcement officers, firefighters, emergency medical personnel, or military personnel from performing their duties. To address concerns raised during the legislative process, McKinner accepted amendments narrowing the bill's scope and exempting certain authorized operations. The prohibition would not apply to venue-approved flights, venue employees conducting official business, regulated utility employees performing official duties, or emergency personnel responding to an incident. Quote, my office and the sponsor have been engaging with stakeholders throughout this process, and I want to thank everyone for their patience and collaboration, end quote, McKinner said. Quote, we remain committed to working in good faith as the bill moves forward to address concerns of stakeholders. All right, that is the end of this article, and if you want to read it, it's on the Sacramento Observer. This was Micah from Game Ant Play for Zephyr News, and I'll see you next time. Thank you.
This is Maddie Vannucci with Zephyr News. The Oroville City Council considered the fiscal year 2026-27 budget for the Oroville Downtown Business Improvement District during Tuesday night's meeting. Representatives from the Oroville Downtown Property Association presented the proposed budget and outlined the organization's mission and priorities. The organization told the council its mission is simple: to ensure a thriving economy in the historic downtown district through beautification, advocacy, and marketing. We are a community collective that unifies and connects the historic character that makes Oroville special, an ODPA representative said. We are bringing the crowds back to Main Street. We work hard to ensure that our downtown remains the beating heart of Oroville, a place where local commerce meets community connection. According to the presentation, the Downtown Business Association has existed for more than 40 years, serving as a collaborative effort for business owners to share resources and encourage more people to shop downtown. Our mission guides everything we do, a representative said. Our mission is that downtown Oroville works to ensure a thriving business economy in the historic downtown district through marketing, beautification, and business advocacy. And our vision to create a sustainable, vibrant, and beautiful business community, attract customers to the downtown commerce district, inspire them to shop small, and work with the city to create a place that is welcoming to do business. The ODPA is governed by an 8-member volunteer board made up entirely of business owners. Representatives estimated the board contributes approximately 600 volunteer hours each year. This is all people who have decided they want to put their money, their time, and their energy into downtown. So it is absolutely appropriate that they are the ones who decide how the funds are going to be spent, the representative said. The organization hosts 10 events each year using Business Improvement District funding to attract visitors to downtown businesses and restaurants. According to the ODPA, these events bring in thousands of dollars for businesses in downtown. The organization highlighted annual events including the Christmas tree lighting, Christmas preview, First Fridays, the Holiday Walk, the Mile Long Yard Sale, and Shop Small Saturday. What a business is getting from us is something they could never get on their own, the ODPA added. In addition to their own events, the ODPA said it uses funds for beautification projects, including replacing bulbs in downtown string lights and planting and maintaining flowers throughout the district. Our marketing approach is to market downtown Oroville as a destination, the representative said. We market downtown Oroville as an experience because it absolutely is. The ODPA promotes events throughout downtown, not just those it organizes itself. Our passion is, of course, shopping locally, the ODPA representative said. When I purchase something on Amazon, I'm going to guess about 5-7% stays in Oroville. When I go to a big box store like Walmart, about 15% of those dollars stay in Oroville. But when I go to one of the downtown stores, about 67% of those dollars stay in Oroville. If we put our money where our mouth is and make decisions to shop downtown, our stores will be able to be open longer and expand and thrive. The fiscal year 26-27 budget was unanimously and enthusiastically approved by the Oroville City Council. With Zephyr News, this has been Maddie Vannucci.
This is Patrice for Chico Soul. This week, an emergency declaration cautioning fire danger targets the Lindo Channel encampments. Chico Soul's coverage of police handling of the automated license plate reader system gets regional attention. And local journalists and activists welcome Latin American counterparts. Chico this week declared a local fire season emergency that could accelerate enforcement of anti-camping ordinances in the Lindo Channel area. At Monday's special city council meeting, officials expressed concern that cooking or warming fires in encampments where unhoused people live can pose wildfire danger, since even small fires can get out of control. Chico Fire Chief Wes Matroka told the council that so far this year, firefighters have responded to 143 fires in Greenway corridors. Matroka reported that there have been more than 800 outdoor fires in encampments over the past 3 years. According to Acting City Manager Eric Gustafson, Chico notified Legal Services of Northern California in late July it would close public property and enforce its anti-camping regulations. Gustafson said the city will notify any people still camping in those areas this week. A Chico Soul investigation revealed the Chico Police Department shared automated license plate reader data with federal and out-of-state agencies. The local police department stopped sharing data that civil rights attorneys say should not have been shared. The department, now in the middle of an audit, was expected to update the status of an internal investigation sometime this week. Chief of Police Billy Aldridge said his department stopped sharing data with federal and out-of-state agencies on July 8th. That was 2 weeks after Chico Soul requested public records related to the department's automated license plate reader data sharing program. Before the first week of July, and as far back as 2.5 years ago, 20 federal agencies and more than 80 out-of-state agencies had access to Chico ALPR data. Two California laws restrict or prohibit the sharing of ALPR data beyond the state. As Chico Soul first reported July 25th, Chief Aldridge was surprised by what the Chico Soul investigation uncovered.
So, first off, when we initiated the ALPR system and we started allowing access to it, it was through an MOU process, a Memorandum of Understanding. And within that Memorandum of Understanding, when we would share to Oregon, Nevada, Arizona, and federal agencies, it was an agreement that they would only use it for criminal investigations, no immigration enforcement at all. So fast forward, you guys have done your PRA, and as we started doing the PRA, producing the information for the PRA, we found out, holy cow, yeah, we're sharing with these people, and actually, when it was set up, we shouldn't have been sharing with outside of California or with the federal agencies. So we immediately shut it off. We stopped sharing immediately, took away anybody's access other than California. So no federal agencies have access. No other state other than California agencies have access. And then
public attention soared once Chico Soul broke the story with two interactive maps showing ALPR camera locations and the agencies the Chico police had allowed to access the data. American Community Media posted English and Spanish versions of Chico Soul's ALPR story for its members to publish. And two NPR affiliates invited Chico Soul to their news shows. Northern California Public Media's weekly roundtable podcast, North Bay 101, broadcast on KRCB at 5 p.m. this Friday, is shared with media throughout Northern California. In other news, some 50 to 60 people attended the Global Exchange's Defenders of Democracy Roadshow in Chico last Saturday. A strong summer sun climbed toward midday, and attendees wearing headsets for simultaneous interpretation sought the few shady amphitheater spots available. Chico Soul's Leslie Layton and Michael Weber of the Enterprise Record localized the issue of media challenges and responsibilities in a discussion with guests from Mexico and Guatemala. The morning session was conducted in the Bidwell Bowl Amphitheater. The afternoon session inside a cool Chico State University classroom featured Omar Gomez Trejo, a Mexican human rights lawyer now living in the United States, Ernesto Ledesma, a Mexico City-based investigative journalist, and Minor Alonso, a political analyst and activist from Guatemala. This has been Patrice for Chico Soul. Follow the latest at chicosoul.org. At chicosoul.org, you can also subscribe to our free weekly newsletter, The Little Sun, to get notified about new content and hear directly from our writers. That's chicosoul.org.
This is David Foose reporting for Zephyr News. This past Monday, August 3rd, 2026, shortly after 6 p.m., firefighters had to respond to five separate fires on the east side of Clark Road in Paradise. The town of Paradise stated that it believes that at least two of the fires were caused by discarded marijuana cigarettes. The town asked that citizens not throw smoking materials from a vehicle and to make sure that all smoking materials are completely extinguished before disposal. local boards of directors and councils had a difficult week. The board of the Chico Unified School District is getting unwanted national attention after last December it approved an almost $2 million contract for AI security cameras without fully understanding what the cameras do. The cameras, which were already installed in almost 700 locations across the district, are made by a company named Verkada. They provide facial recognition and license plate identification, which has upset parents, students, teachers, and staff alike. The agreement was passed on the CSUD's board's consent agenda, which is usually reserved for routine, non-controversial business, which fueled claims of a lack of transparency by the board. The contract included for review at the consent agenda detailed how many cameras were being purchased and their cost, but not their likely controversial features. Board members have admitted publicly to making a mistake. Paradise Town Council held a contentious special meeting last week to address this year's grand jury report. The council has 90 days to respond to the report. According to an article by Jake Hutchinson in the August 1st, 2026 edition of the Chico Enterprise Record, the grand jury report contained allegations related to construction and planning since the campfire, such as unqualified building inspection staff, also questions about the transparency of an audit. A two-person committee composed of counselors Steve Culleton and Heidi Lang was assigned to come up with recommended responses, but when the larger council had trouble agreeing, community members present began speaking up outside the public commenting period. The council eventually voted 4-1 in favor of a draft response. The City of Chico announced that new city manager Gillian Hain will begin work on Monday, August 10th, 2026. California State Controller Malia M. Cohen announced the publication of 2025 payroll data for state departments, superior courts, and California State University institutions. The data may be found on the Government Compensation in California, or GCC, website. The data contains compensation details for more than 400,000 positions, adding up to over $31 billion in total wages and over $13 billion in retirement and health contributions. We're a little out ahead of this one, but the California Highway Patrol, or CHP, announced that, in collaboration with the Chico Police Department, it will be conducting a driving under the influence, or DUI, and driver's license checkpoint in the Chico area from 8 p.m. to 1 a.m. on the evening of Friday, September 4th, 2026. CHP drug recognition experts will be on site equipped with state-of-the-art handheld breath testing devices. Traffic volume permitting, all vehicles will be checked. Night work began this past Sunday, August 2nd, 2026, on the East 20th Street Pavement Rehabilitation Project. The City of Chico said night work would occur between 8 p.m. and 6 a.m., Monday through Friday, and on some weekends. Heavy construction is expected to be completed by mid-August, and the remainder of the project by the end of September. Motorists can expect one side of the road to be closed with flaggers in key locations. The temporary satellite location for the Chico branch of the Butte County Library opened this past Monday, August 3rd, 2026 at 196 Memorial Way in Chico. The Oroville satellite location opens Tuesday, August 18th, 2026 at 205 Miraloma Drive, Suite 10. The permanent library branches are undergoing renovations to modernize aging infrastructure and to improve functionality for staff and patrons. Butte County District 2 Supervisor Peter Durfee has retired after almost 20 years with the Chico Police Department. Lieutenant Durfee was an umpire for Major League Baseball before he joined the department in 2008. Zephyr News interviewed Durfee during his recent campaign for supervisor. The interview is part of the April 16, 2026 episode of Zephyr News, available in the KZFR archives. California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that the state's minimum wage will increase to $17.